on RNIB Connect Radio.
Knew the signs wasn't right. I was stupid for a while. Swept away by you. And now I feel like the fool. So confused, my heart's bruised. Was I ever loved by you? Out of reach, so far. I never had your heart. Out of reach, couldn't see. We were never meant to be. Catch myself from despair. I could drown if I stay.
Gabrielle and Out of Reach. Thank you so much for joining me on today's happy hour. Paulina here once again. I'm keeping you company just for a little bit, just for this hour, with some amazing music and, of course, all things happiness, well-being, and those really interesting interviews that you always look forward to. So today we'll be actually hearing about a very interesting scheme. We'll be chatting with Bailiwick Social Prescribing, who actually offer something else to help support well-being and also any other needs you might have outside of medical intervention. So they don't prescribe medicine, they prescribe something a little bit different. So we'll be hearing from them and how that can also boost our mental health and help support that. We'll also be chatting with Michael Ellis, who actually benefited from the scheme, and through it he started trying out climbing. So we'll be hearing how that has been going for him. And you know what? If you're looking for a nice way to maybe boost your well-being and also your physical fitness, well, drumming is a really great way to do it. So we'll be hearing about that before the end of this hour. Plus, of course, all the usual, we'll have your music therapy moment and a really interesting happiness fact as well. Thank you so much for joining me on the happy hour.
I'm a hungry man. I said, to save your doggone soul. Wearing those dresses, your head done up so nice. You tell you don't love me no more. I believe you're doing me wrong, and now I know. I believe you're doing me wrong, and now I know. The more I work, the faster my money goes. I said, shake, rattle, and roll. I said, shake, rattle, and roll. I said, shake, rattle. I said, shake, rattle, and roll. Well, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul. Shake, rattle, and roll.
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, today, we're going to hear about a very unique prescription scheme. It's one that keeps our mental well-being at the very heart of it. Its uniqueness? It doesn't prescribe medication, but rather something else. And to tell us more about it, I'm joined now by Trish DeCarteret, Bailiwick Social Prescribing Link Worker Manager. It is lovely speaking with you today, Trish.
Hello, Paulina. Lovely to speak to you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the social prescribing scheme. As I said already, you don't prescribe medication.
No. So Bailiwick Social Prescribing works alongside the GP. So the GP would be responsible for prescribing any medication and looking after anybody's medical needs. But what the GPs find is that a lot of clients or patients that they see don't necessarily need medication. What they need is help in their lives with social and well-being things. So things like they might be struggling with filling out forms for the income tax, for example, or getting a job or mixing with people post-COVID, coming out of isolation, re-engaging with the community. And people were seeing their GP for those issues when actually the GP isn't in the best place in their 8-minute appointment to be able to help with that. So social prescribing works alongside that.
And it totally makes sense, because all those things you mentioned there, they can have a very negative, if you don't have that support, it can have a negative impact on your mental health, on your well-being, on your general life. So you still need the support. It's just a different type of support. So how would that work for, I guess, would you be referred to your practice or, I guess, to the scheme?
So at the moment, we are taking referrals just from the GPs, but the people can ask to be referred to the scheme through their GP. And that's purely because Bailiwick Social Prescribing is a new scheme and we didn't want to get overwhelmed with referrals that we couldn't cope. So what we've done initially is just taken those referrals through the GP, who are in the best position to know which patients will benefit the best. And then they refer to us and we contact the client. So they become clients for us, not patients. And then we meet with them to find out what's strong with them. So what we use the phrase, what's strong with you and not what's wrong with you. So we focus on their strengths and not their concerns, to try and help them overcome some of their worries.
So what are some of the things that I guess you would be supporting people with? If you could give us some examples.
Yes, we have clients that want sometimes very simple things like complicated forms that they don't know how to fill out, or they need to have a telephone call with a statutory government organisation, and they get confused when they're talking to them. So we can go with them, or we can talk on their behalf with their consent, so that we can then explain that to them in layman's terms, if you like, so in easy language, right up to people that are really struggling with their mental health and well-being, isolated, I think that their whole life is over and they're never going to benefit from anything. And what we do with them is we work with them to find something that they might enjoy doing that's totally, if you like, off the wall, but something that sparks an interest in them. And then we try to help them engage with that.
So you basically help them facilitate that access to something maybe they would consider impossible for them to do. When you're in a negative state of mind, it's hard to, I guess, motivate yourself or even understand how to get started in something that could bring you lots of joy. But in a moment, it feels very overwhelming.
Absolutely. So what we found is that by the time people come to us, less so now because they're being referred a bit quicker, but especially in the early days, by the time people came to us, they genuinely felt life wasn't, there was nothing they could do. Life wasn't worth even trying anything new because it was bound to go wrong. And what we did was we worked a lot with people in the very early days about talking to them for sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 hours, just to find out even a little spark inside them of something that they enjoyed, and then building on that and building on their confidence by going to things with them to try and get them to enjoy things that they never thought was possible to enjoy again.
And I imagine this would involve some things that are really minor, like maybe going out for a cup of coffee, to something a little bit more, I guess, exciting, like rock climbing or indoor rock climbing.
Absolutely. I have a client that has been very successful from moving to a state where they weren't leaving the house and couldn't engage at all. So we're really struggling, to somebody who's now competed in national competitions for climbing, overcoming huge amounts of obstacles on the way. And yeah, absolutely. It can be anything from getting somebody to go out and go into a shop without having a panic attack to totally changing their lives.
So it sounds like it's such an amazing scheme. Is there anything similar happening around the rest of the UK?
Yeah, so this has been going in the UK for about 21 years now through a centre called Bromley by Bow, which is based in the UK. And it's becoming more and more current now. Even the health secretaries are stating social prescribing is making a huge difference. And it's one of the new initiatives in healthcare across the board. So more CCGs now in the UK are introducing social prescribing.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So, Trish, how can we find out more about our local social prescribing scheme? Would we just get in touch with our local GP?
Yes, I think that's what you would need to do. So I would get in touch with your local GP service, see whether they've got social prescribing. They may or may not. But that's, if you, more people that ask, the more likely they are to set it up.
Fantastic. Well, Trish, it's been a lovely speaking with you today about the Bailiwick social prescribing scheme, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you very much.
And coming up later on the show, we will actually hear from Michael, who Trish mentioned earlier. He's had some amazing success in park climbing, and he's actually one of the people that benefited from this scheme.
Heart goes up, heart goes down. We fall in love. And we fall back out. I'll give you anything you want, anything you want, anything, anything. Just don't tell me no. You stop it still, then you make it worse. You're like a pill that I just can't trust. You tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Keep on, keep on, keep on. You'll never stop this thing. Did I move too far?
reach out too much. I think I must be mad to give you everything I had, everything I had, everything, everything, but it still went bad. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Keep on, keep on, keep on. You never stop this thing.
Celeste and that wonderful voice with her track Stop This Flame. If you're joining me just now, it's the Happy Hour with Paulina on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, if you listen every week, you probably know that I love a good random happiness fact. Well, this week, I have one for you that has a bit of an autumnal spin on it. So apparently, according to the Encyclopedia of Superstitions, there's a popular belief that as many falling leaves as can be caught in the hand in autumn, so many happy months will follow. So there we go. The more falling leaves you can catch this autumn, the more happiness you can apparently bring to yourself in the coming months. Now, probably quite a fancy superstition, but you know, something quite fun to do if you have any kids around, and or just something you fancy doing, something silly. Now, still to come on the Happy Hour, we'll be chatting with Michael Ellis, who will join us to tell us how he's picked up climbing lately.
I made up my mind, don't need to think it over. If I'm wrong, I am right. Don't need to look no further, this ain't last. I know this is love, but if I tell the world, I'll never say enough, 'cause it was not said to you, and that's exactly what I need to do if I end up. Fly around in circles, waiting as my heart drops and my back begins to tingle. Finally, could this be it? Oh, should I give up, or should I just keep chasing?
beaten pavements, even if it leads nowhere. Oh, would it be a waste, even if I knew my place? Should I leave it there? Should I give up, or should I just keep on chasing pavements? Should I just keep on chasing pavements? Oh, should I give up, or should I just keep chasing pavements?
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. Let's talk of finding your passion, being able to discover something that brings you joy and perhaps even a little bit of a challenge can not only boost your confidence, but also help improve your overall well-being. And today, joining us to talk about his recent passion is Michael Ellis. Michael, so lovely to have you here.
Thank you.
So we're going to be talking today about paraclimbing, which is something that you have not only just recently picked up, but you've had great success with it because you won silver at championships in Wales recently. Would you mind telling us a bit more about that?
Absolutely. I only started climbing just over a year ago. My route into it was through social prescribing. Put me in touch with a local charity which aims at people who would struggle to access mainstream climbing groups. So we were able to do something quite bespoke, and it has just been so fantastic. It's been many achievements all along the way. Structure the routine, being able to try a different route, and some have been more challenging. There's particular ones which have been a bit of a nemesis, and then finally getting there. And any other cares of the world just go out the window because I am so focused on what I'm doing. It's a very practical way of, I guess, mindfulness. And as well as being sight impaired, I'm autistic. So the structure and the routine and the logic of it all also works very well. I was able to do it in quite a bespoke environment, and the instructor hadn't had sight impaired people before. So it was a learning curve for both of us. It's meant reaching out to other blind climbers and finding out, well, how do you do this? How do you describe holds? And it's been very much a learning curve, but a fantastic one. And it's been as fulfilling or exciting for the instructors and the other people who I've climbed with as it has been for me, that they've grown on their journeys as well. And a lot of them have also tried climbing blindfold, and it is a regular thing with some of the youngsters that they will get them to climb blindfold for the experience as well. And I wanted goals and something to aim for. So to enter one of the rounds of the BMC, paraclimbing became the goal. And to be able to go and compete was absolutely awesome. Very, very welcoming, very friendly. And I'm still very much a novice, but I didn't feel judged in any way. The whole thing is awesome.
I love how you're calling yourself a novice after actually doing it for a year and also getting silver at an official championship.
Thank you.
So let's talk about that first day when you tried climbing for the first time. What was going through your head?
Oh, I don't know.
Were you nervous? Excited?
I think excited, or not wanting to do something like wrong. Not knowing exactly what I was meant to be doing. And that I guess there was a certain amount of natural affinity to it, but it's a sport which actually lends itself to sight impairment quite well, because you are feeling for holds. You are, does this feel right? Do I feel like I'm about to fall off, or am I balanced? So all of that body awareness and the feeling, the grip of the holds actually works quite well. And then we've learned how to best describe holds or what direction things are going in as we've gone along. And at the end of the day, there's a security in the fact that I am attached by a harness. So if I do slip or fall or need a rest or whatever, it's safe.
And I think that's something people maybe sometimes worry about when they do something like climbing, because it feels extreme, but it really isn't. It's very much manageable and very safe, and you have all those people supporting you. So I guess I would like to find out a little bit more about your route into this. Was through social prescribing. It was the Bailiwick social prescribing yes. scheme. Why did you reach out to them for help with this?
It was actually recently set up in Guernsey. I was one of the first people that they saw. Basically, via GPs, people that have some additional needs, but is not necessarily medical intervention that's needed. I was struggling with mental health issues and just day-to-day life stuff, I guess. I don't work, so that feeling of doing something useful and productive and that I'm actually engaged with. But it's difficult to know where to start, what is going to work. And my GP suggested, he referred me to social prescribing. And even then it was, well, these are the things which I'm kind of interested in. And there are a number of people who want to support people. A whole variety of things, from walking football to accidental zoo to climbing, all sorts of things. Some things more social, some things more practical. And it was a case of, would you be interested in this? And then speaking to the climbing charity, saying, is this something you can work with? And that negotiation. And even at the beginning, when I met them, it was, I really don't know what I want. I just know that I need something. And this worked really well. I'm a fairly active and adventurous person anyway, and I always have been. And it really matched my personality and my needs. And just to go back a step in terms of the scariness or the challenge of doing something like climbing, actually going to the supermarket or crossing the road is far scarier and far more challenging than being on a climbing wall where there are no people in my way. Somebody's telling me where the relevant things are. And if anything goes wrong, there's all the safety harness. So the things which often leap to people's minds of what the challenges are, it's actually quite different to that. And by doing it through social prescribing, it was able to be set up in a way which very much worked for me. So a quiet environment, doing things at my own pace, and learning as we've gone along. But it's also just been so enjoyable and such fun. It's just absolutely worked for me.
I mean, it sounds like you love it. So whilst you're there, you're climbing and you're trying to figure out the next hold or which way to go and how to lift yourself off that next step. You're obviously, you said your mind's very quiet and you're very calm. Is there anything from climbing that has maybe had a positive impact on your life outside of it?
Yes, it's hard to define exactly what. I know that other people have said just how beneficial they can see climbing has been for me. It certainly gives that sense of achievement, the confidence, I'm trying to think in actually defined terms what it has been.
Do you think it improved your overall mood, or how are you finding your feeling these days?
I would say yes, because having those mini achievements along the way, having the larger goals, and that all contributes to how I feel about my week and my day. One thing which it has also resulted in is after a year of essentially climbing on my own, I've actually wanted to get more involved with other people and their climbing, be involved in group work. I also was given the chance to do an indoor climbing assistant qualification. And again, actually, no adjustments need to be made for my site, because everything can be done by feel. And that was really inclusive as well, because no big deal was made about my site. I was sat next to the chap leading the course, and so he'd just pass things to me as he was describing them, and I'd have pass them back. But that means that I've reached the same standards as everybody else to be on the end of the safety rope to belay, and everybody will just accept that it's not, oh, well, you need some extra accommodations, showing, I guess, that I'm just as good as everybody else, that I'm not less because of disability, which, although other people might not feel that, it's quite easy to feel different. And the fact that I want to be in more involved and more involved with other people and support them in their climbing in the way that people have supported me, that says a huge amount about what the last year's done for me.
So I imagine prior to that, you were maybe a little bit socially anxious and not that interested, or not feeling like you have the energy to be around other people.
Yes, it's partly autism as well. So I don't really do social things. It's very much more task-based. And something like climbing does provide a really good base for that because everybody's there to climb, but I actually am far more interested in the people that I'm with than I normally would be. I have also since done an outdoor climb on the some of the rocks locally, and it's just that expanding what I'm capable of and what I can see that I'm capable of. And it's also fantastic, the people that I've climbed with have never felt that they need to babysit me, for want of a better word, or that I can't do as much as anybody else. It's very much on an equal footing. And that, for somebody with disabilities, is really important. And it changes the way I feel about myself. And obviously, that's great for well-being and mental health. And that translates across to all aspects of life.
Yeah, and you're also out there, breaking down stereotypes of what people think someone who is visually impaired can and cannot do. Michael, I guess I have one final question for you today, which is, if there's someone out there who is visually impaired and they're listening to you talk about this passion and they're like, it sounds really interesting, what would be your number one advice that you would want to give them?
Have a go. Contact somebody who's involved in climbing and see what options there are. It's safe. You can go at your own pace and give it a try. It's been incredible for me, and there is absolutely nothing stopping you.
Fantastic. Michael Ellis, thank you so much for sharing your passion with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
You love me. come back.
Are you affected by sight loss? Would you like to talk to others in a similar situation about topics that matter to you? Why not join an RNIB Connect Facebook group local to you, where you can ask questions, share tips, or simply just connect with like-minded people? Become part of a community, united by shared experiences, by joining a group today. Visit rnib.org.uk/connect or call 0303 123 9999 and ask about RNIB Connect Facebook groups.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.
There we go, Donna Summer. Don't you just love her voice? Now, on the Happy Hour, we love hearing about all those unique and different ways you can look after your well-being. Well, Sense UK Charity actually hosts a number of activities that are there for people with complex disabilities, and one of them is quite different. So let's find out a little bit more about it with our Howell Davies.
If you're looking for a unique way to keep your mind and body active whilst having a good time, then drumming could be the answer. Paul Downs, Sport and Physical Activity Coordinator for Sense, joins me now. Thanks for speaking to us, Paul.
Thank you for having us.
First of all, can you tell us a little bit about Sense and the work that you do?
Okay, yeah. So Sense is a national charity. We support people with complex disabilities. And in terms of my role of Sport and Physical Activity Coordinator, I have worked for Sense for 4 years now. And we have a funded program by Sport England, and we are currently sort of working with all our Sense services across the country and in Wales, and we're also working with other community groups and individuals with complex disabilities and trying to provide them with as many physical activity and sporting opportunities as possible. So working with those people and find out what they would like to do and trying to sort of fulfill their sort of like physical activity and sporting experiences.
And one of those activities is the drumming to music session.
Yes.
And those started during lockdown, is that right?
The drumming to music sessions were brought in initially in that kind of period of lockdown, in that first year of lockdown. And we did lots of consultation with our services and the people that we'd already impacted on in terms of the face-to-face at sports sessions. There was a big demand for online delivery. So we had to kind of, be quite innovative and work out a way where we could get our drumming to music sessions done on, completed online, and then obviously make sure that the people that wanted to do it could access that as well. Yeah. So there was a lot of work to be done. There was lots of work to be done in those initial sort of months of lockdown. Yeah. And then we got to the point where we were delivering on Zoom, on the drumming to music sessions, and people were starting to access that. It was all really quite a, let's say, a steep learning curve for everyone really involved.
And how do the sessions work? Do you have people drumming along with pens and pencils, sort of tapping the tables? How does it work?
Yeah, so in terms of the actual process of the drumming to music sessions, we have a great provider called Pivotal Health and Wellbeing, who are based from Rotherham. And they used to do the sessions, face-to-face sessions before lockdown hit. Some of the services in the Rotherham area were used to that already. And it was very much the instructors stood at the front of the class, and people just kind of mirroring what Abby, our instructor, was doing. We just said, yeah, let's try and recreate that. And people would have drumsticks that Abby provided in the face-to-face sessions. So some of the services that got online could have drumsticks. Some can have, pens, rulers, just anything they can tap along with. So when we're actually live online, what we do is I'm usually there presenting it, and then we make sure that everyone's muted apart from our instructor, and she shares her audio with everyone, so everyone can hear the music, or they can see what she's doing. And that works really well, obviously, for people with sensory impairments, and what we also have people that join our session who are deaf and blind, but they have a fantastic kind of communicator guide as well. So doing some all through touch, explaining what's going on using the vibrations and things like that, and using underhand movements to make sure that they're getting as much out of it as well. So we're covering all sensory needs and complex needs really in this session, and it's just gone from strength to strength because we have on average around about 25 to 30 people every Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and it's just gone from strength to strength. Yeah.
And what sort of music do you drum along to? Do you take requests from participants?
We do, yes, yeah. That is one. That is probably why it's been so popular over the years now, because of the way that Pivotal Health and Wellbeing have worked with our participants, and they theme some of the sessions. So when we go through the year, we have, you know, there's obviously Christmas is a big time for Christmas songs as we're getting near to the kind of the end of the year now. But we also have little, you know, like Halloween sessions, and then when there's been particular spot in events, but then there's also kind of very firm favourites that kind of stick in the set list as well.
And I've got to ask, Paul, could you give us a quick demonstration?
I might struggle with that because I haven't got the audio queued up ready. But if anybody wants to join us on a Friday, we can definitely do that. The movements that we do are quite simple drumming movements. I do have some, I do have some drumsticks here with me, so I can probably just, it's sort of things like, you know, just together and tap and out and tap and things like that. And then we're doing like lots of drumming, and people do drum on tables and boxes, and we do also, some people do drum on they do have like a little snare drum or like a little bongo, and they sort of, and they're tapping away like that. So it's great to see people using you know, actual percussion instruments and drumsticks as well. But some people just do it with their hands and do it stood up and use it as a kind of a physical activity workout. So it really touches people can do it sat down, stood up. People who are you know, just trying to get involved and be physically active, which is and having fun. That's what it's all about, this session. It kickstarts the weekend for everyone who's involved, which is just, it's a pleasure to be involved with it.
And if people would like to find out more and join in with the drumming to music sessions, how can they do that?
Yeah. Well, they can email me and get in touch with myself. My details are all on the Sense website, and they can also go on our Sense website and click on the activity finder, and they can put in the details for Drumming to Music Online, and then you'll be able to sign up to that session. You'll get the Zoom link, and then I will be there to welcome you online. And it's just a lot of fun and having a little workout at the same time.
Fantastic. Well, Paul Downs, Sports and Physical Activity Coordinator for Sense, thanks for speaking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you, Howell Davies there. Now, remember, if you found any of the interviews quite interesting and maybe you would like to share it with someone who you think you would benefit from hearing that conversation, well, we do have a podcast. Just search for RNIB Happy Hour Podcast wherever you listen to your, well, podcasts. Now, we still have our music therapy moment coming up in a short moment. But before that, we're going to have some more music with Kate Bush and This Woman's Work.
Stop thinking all the things I should have said.
There we go, the lovely notes of Kate Bush bringing us to the end of today's happy hour. But don't worry, there's still time for my favorite segment, which is the music therapy moment. Now, each week, we choose a track that means a lot to someone. Now, whether that's a guest, a previous guest, or maybe even myself as a host, I choose something very special for you. Well, this week, I have chosen a track that is a new release. It's from Rihanna, the artist who has released a track. I think it's one of her first kind of big singles in quite a few years. And it's been written specifically for the new Black Panther Wakanda Forever movie. And it's quite a lovely, lovely R&B ballad. And it's, I think it was written as in memory of Chadwick Boseman, the actor that used to play the lead character in that movie. And it's meant to be something to kind of remind you of all the people we have lost and what it would feel like to be able to give them one more hug. So there we go. This song goes out to anyone who is perhaps missing someone special in their life. I hope it brings you a little bit of comfort. Remember, if you would like to send your own music therapy choice, you can always get in touch with us. It's radio@rnib.org.uk. Thanks for listening to the happy hour. We'll have more special well-being content for you next week.
Keep me close, safe and sound. Safe and sound. Live.